All right, everybody, welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. Brother Carlos here. We're going to get started now with some hymn worship. So would you please do me a favor and turn in your red hymns. We're going to start off here with page 506, 506 in the red hymn, Blessed Assurance. Want to thank you for tuning in live with us. If you are live, go ahead and Google search, I guess, Blessed Assurance hymn, and hopefully it's the same one, amen, that we like to sing here, okay? Oh, wait, sorry, wrong key, here we go. On the one.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
On the two.
Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above. Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
On the third.
Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior, happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above. Filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen. Praise God, church. That sounded amazing. Man, what a blessing it is to see a lot of folks here today at church. All right, friends, let's go ahead and turn in our next hymn song just on the page to your right-hand side there, page 507 here. Come Thou Fount. Give me one quick second here as we try to do some last-minute technical things here. One second here. One second here, friend. And there we go, and boom, perfect, okay. All right, here, Come Thou Fount, amen, Come Thou Fount, page 507. On the one.
Come Thou Fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing Thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. grace. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love.
On the tomb.
Here I'll raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help to come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood.
On the third.
Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above.
Amen. Glory to God. All right, friend, we're going to go ahead and end here with our last song, page 43. This is going to be a little up-tempo. Brother Quamain is feeling spirit-led. That's why they call us Pentecostal Baptists. Amen. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just playing. We just love Jesus once in a while. Get excited. Amen. Glory to God. All right, page 43, nothing but the blood, amen.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen. On the two.
For my pardon, this I see.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
For my cleansing, this I plead.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen. On the third.
Nothing can for sin atone.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Not of good that I have done.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other found I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
All right, church, sing it out. Last verse here.
This is all my hope and peace.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
This is all my righteousness.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen. Glory to God. All right. Well, do me a favor, friends. Let's go ahead and stand and greet one another. If you feel comfortable, fist bump, elbow bump, hugs, whatever you do. Amen. Amen. All right.
All right. Well, our church continues to fellowship. I'm going to go ahead and focus on the online crowd. First off, online crowd, thank you all for tuning in with us here at Simple Faith Baptist Church. I also want to thank all the members who are personally here in the flesh. Thank my mom for coming out. I thank Sister Letty Sister for coming out. It's a blessing to have y'all here. We got a nice crowd today, and I just want to praise God for that. So for y'all who are tuning in online, just look up to the screen. I'm going to go over our calendar tab first. On the calendar tab, again, just like any other calendar, we have different events going on here at Simple Faith Baptist Church. One specific event, when we went down to Brother Josh's church, is a blessing. How you doing, brother? It's a blessing to be able to join them with our Brother Gene and Brother Waters out there at us. I'm sorry about that, at Brother Josh's fellowship. It was a blessing. And I just want to say, whenever there's an event like that where we have like a Bible conference, please try to make those conferences. The message is awesome. The fellowship is awesome. We had a blessing down there. And so we'll try to keep this updated. Sometimes when Brother Josh has that going on at his church, it may not be on his website as sometimes. Most of the time it is. But we'll try to keep you guys informed here on his calendar tab. So please get familiar with that. All right. About us, real simple, we're fellow Christians, and we believe the Word of God inspired and preserved as He promised. Pretty straightforward there. This tab here called the prayer tab. All right, this tab is very important. Hopefully you're talking to God and you're praying for each other, keeping that communication with the Lord. Let's not take that communication with God. Just don't take it lightly. It's awesome to be able to have fellowship with the Father. It's something that we did not have before we got saved, and now we can have that. So please utilize prayer. God is very big on prayer. He says, pray without ceasing. We want to continue to do that. So this tab here is just basically a little platform you can use where we can keep you in prayer as a body, okay? We can keep you to prayer together as a body. Everybody here in this service can see this prayer tab here. And we can see praise reports as well. Anything you would like us to give glory to God for you or to pray for you specifically, please utilize that prayer tab right there. This box is very simple. Name, you can put your email, prayer, title, details. There's also a category box right here in case you want to specify that prayer. All right. Just to let you know that anything you put on that prayer tab, it will be to the public. But if you don't want it public, just put that in the notes, and we'll make sure it's not public, but at least we'll know about it so we can keep you in prayer. All right, current and future ministries. This is what our different ministries here at Simple Faith Baptist Church. So when it's Saturday, it's awesome. We had a good time yesterday. We went out our usual 3:30. But I'm telling you right now, we had a couple things lined up. We planned on going ahead and go out and soul win and go out and help Brother Carlos with his fence. But man, it was an awesome fellowship. We got to witness to a lot of people. We got to minister to a lot of believers as well and reach a lot of the lost. Brother Carlos had some pretty unique conversations with a brother, you know, kind of broke down and needed some prayer. But it was a good time. We had an awesome time. We spent like almost over 2 hours out there. So please join us for that. So when it's Saturday, it's an awesome time. Awesome time for you to go out and do what the Lord told you to do. To go out and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, go out into the world and do that. So that's every Saturday we're going to do that. We're going to try to remain faithful to that. Please, if you want to join us, just contact us at the number on the screen. Or you can contact me or Brother Carlos. My number is here on this church team tab. I got my personal number on here. You can contact me. I thank God for the brother that contacted me via email. I want to give a shout out to you, brother. Thank you. Hopefully you're tuning in, and I'm going to do my best to look for a solid church in your area as well. So please feel free to contact us so we can be here for you. So just going more into that schedule, we also do our Sunday school at 1 p.m. Solid study is an awesome study day. I actually learned something new today just on that 30-minute Sunday school. Don't take that for granted. If you can make it to Sunday school, make it because it's a blessing. We're going through a book called Fascinating Truths. It's not up here by Brother James Knox. Awesome study. I will show you visually, but it's an awesome study. Just different truths that you may have missed through reading scriptures that Brother James Knox does a good job pointing out. Solid study. We take a 15-minute break, have our Sunday service. We worship God in spirit and in truth. And then from there, I give a quick announcement when we get into the Word of God. All right. Wednesday nights, we have our midweek service. You know, we need that refresher throughout the week. You know, we come in fellowship on Sundays, and we want to, in that midweek, go ahead and fellowship again, continue to stay built up, and your mind on heavenly things, and just meet somebody's needs. One Wednesday out of each month, the first Wednesday, what we do is we like to have a praise and worship Wednesday. So the first Wednesday of every month, we're going to try to remain faithful to doing that. And please join us for that every Wednesday at 7. All right, so quick update on a live stream. This update is a little bit different from others. One, we're going to stop streaming on Periscope, all right? Facebook Live, we're still doing, so you can see us on there. YouTube Live, we're still doing. We're still doing a podcast, but Periscope, we're going to step back from Periscope. We're not going to have Periscope anymore. So if you're tuning in on Periscope, I don't know if it's on Periscope right now, but we're no longer going to be doing Periscope. So utilize YouTube, podcasts, or Facebook Live if you can. Amen. All right, last couple tabs here. This is the Bible study tab and the online giving tab. Bible study tab, I like this tab here because these are brothers who've been doing this, again, I always repeat, a lot longer than we have. Obviously, they're well more seasoned, and you can learn a lot from these brothers here. I'm talking about Bible history. I'm talking about right dividing the Word of God. And as y'all know, if y'all heard me before, one of my favorites is Brother James Knox. I love the way he rightly divides the scriptures. I learned a lot from that brother there. So please utilize that. We're not the only Bible-based church out here. We just want to make those brethren available to y'all. All right. Last tab, online giving. This is between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever you purpose in your heart as unto the Lord is between you and him. We just make this available for you to give online if you would like to help us here at Simple Faith Baptist Church. Again, all funds go to, obviously, the building where we can come together and fellowship. But it also goes to shirts, our Jesus Saves shirts that we wear when we're out soul winning. It goes out to flyers, the tracts that we pass out so we can witness to others. It goes out to the books so we can continue to edify ourselves and study to show ourselves approved so we can be good workmen for the Lord. And it goes out just for ministry. So, again, that's where all the funds go. So if you would like to give, that's between you and the Lord. The platform we're using is PayPal. So with that being said, hopefully, guys, y'all came for the Word of God. And tune in. Here comes Brother Carlos. Amen.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for Brother Kwame. All right. Amen. Praise God. Well, we just want to welcome everybody who's watching online. We have a couple of viewers on our Facebook Live. So thank you for tuning in with us. You best get ready for some Bible. Get that Bible out. You know what I'm talking about. And for those of you guys that are in-house, if you do have a Facebook, please search our church, Simple Faith Baptist Church, Oceanside. Like it, subscribe, and share so we can get more Bible teaching out into our community because we want people to know the truth because the truth can set people what?
Free.
Amen. Glory to God. Let's go ahead and get into this part, the best part for why you guys came here to want to continue to let you hear my voice. Let's go ahead and get some Bible out here. Romans chapter 9. If you have a Bible, there should be one around your pulpit, your pew area there if you need one. If you don't have one, we do have the projector up here, but I encourage you physically turn those pages. You want to discipline your mind, just like many of you guys have been to school and studied. That's the same thing here. We're here to study the Word of God, so discipline to get used to opening up the pages of Scripture. Romans chapter 9. Just want to give a quick summary of yesterday's awesome soul winning time. For those of you guys who know, our church, thankfully we've been faithful and consistent. Every Saturday we do a little street preaching. We just go out there downtown Oceanside at the pier. We pass out some gospel tracts, hold our scripture signs, and just tell the world about Jesus just like he told us to do. We minister to a lot of people, pass out over 200 flyers. Brother Kwame had to come back to me twice to get some more flyers. That's how amazing that was. We had a lot of great engagements. Brother Manny had a good conversation with a gentleman, was able to pray for some individuals. Brother Kwame, as a military man, he's able to get a whole little posse there listening to him, and that was a blessing there. So we want to thank God. If you're a Christian, the Lord tells you to go out into the world. Please, as a church, corporately, if you're a member of our church, go with us on Saturdays so we can obey God together. I'm not talking about, oh, I do it on my own, man. No, you know what we're talking about. You know what that Bible says. Let's do it together as family every Saturday. And then Brother Manny wants to try to start some on Sundays. We'll see what happens with that. Also, Friday nights, we're going to change it. I forgot to tell Brother Kwame to announce this. Friday nights, we're going to start having our leadership meeting here at the church house. So we're going to have it here at the church house at 6:30, Friday night leadership meeting. So we're and that's the time that we get to come together to study some doctrine, setting some material to help keep each other accountable as Christian leaders. Again, the good news about an independent Baptist church like ours is that I am not the final authority. Praise God. I'm a man. I make mistakes. We believe the Bible, so the Bible is higher than we are. So if I make mistakes, which I do, I correct myself on the YouTube comments. We can study together and grow together because that's a Bible-based church. We're here to learn together and grow together. So Friday nights, if you want to join us for our leadership team, 6:30 right here at the church house. We're going to start that next Friday. All right, so here we go. We're going to pick up here in Romans chapter 9. For those of you guys who are joining us for the first time, I want to thank God for our visitors. The Bible book of Romans is like the governing structure for the Christian church. It's literally like the Constitution. It tells you about Christian belief, Christian thoughts, who Jesus was. What about the world? Why are we all sinners? It lays out your sin in Romans chapter 1. It tells you why you don't have any excuse of not knowing God and his existence in Romans 1 and in Romans 2. It tells you about the story of Israel and how God used them to bring about the Messiah into the world. Romans 4, Romans 5. Once you get saved, Romans chapter 5 and 6 tells you about the peace you have with God through Jesus. It compels you to live holy, live righteously. Romans 7 tells you the battle that you're going to have as a Christian. You still have an old nature, even though you have the new nature. It's up to you to choose righteousness. Romans 8 tells you if you don't live for God, if you don't live holy, you're going to live a life worldly against God. You know what that Bible says? God will be against you. He says you'll die if you live in a life that is completely rebellious against him. But if you live in a life that is holy and obedient to him, he says you have life and peace in your heart. Now we're talking about Romans chapter 9. So from Romans chapter 9 to chapter 11, it's dealing with the nation of Israel, because a lot of us, for those of us who haven't read the Bible in a while, it has a lot to do with the people of Israel, regardless of your political views. We're going to look at the spiritual views because God's view is more important than ours. And so when we talk about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the people of Israel, Jesus was a Jew. He was born as a Jew. And he died on that cross to fulfill a lot of promises and prophecies concerning them as a people. He is not done with them. We know from the Bible study here in Romans that the church is not a replacement for Israel, and Israel is not the church. Two different groups. So now God is teaching us, the Christians, through Paul the Apostle here in Romans 9 about his dealings with Israel. What about them? Are they still going to receive the promises? Even though nationally right now they are blinded from the truth because God has pronounced that, he is going to return back for them one day. But before he does that, he's going to take them through a time of great tribulation. Many of you guys have heard of the word Armageddon, you know, like the end of the world, stuff like that, judgment and wrath. It's coming, but it's not for us. Because again, Romans 5, if you've become a born-again Christian, you've escaped the wrath of God because you've trusted Christ. But those folks that don't, God is going to deal with them through that great tribulation. So we're going to study all those in our verse-by-verse study. Now, in chapter 9, we're getting a comparison of God's dealings with them, and he's using an example of these individuals from the Old Testament, like Jacob and Esau, etc. And we're just picking up in our verse-by-verse study, and now he has worked out his relations with them. And that Bible says here in verse number 14, "What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." So Paul the Apostle is quoting the Old Testament. That's why we got to read our whole Bible. "So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the Scripture saith," again, the New Testament quotes a lot of the Old Testament. So for those of you guys who haven't read that book in a long time, I suggest you pick it up and get refreshed once again. "For the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, Even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. So Paul is using Pharaoh, the Pharaoh at the time of Moses, as an example for some teaching that we're going to learn together right now. Verse 18, therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and on whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? It's a good position. Who are you to talk against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for this time that you've gathered us together. Thank you, God, for allowing us to once again gather in the name of Jesus here to learn more Bible, learn more truth. I thank you, Father, for them that are watching online, and I thank you for them that are coming here to this church to visit. I pray that you would minister to both of them, Lord. I pray that you would remove me out of your way, and I ask your Holy Spirit to help us to have eyes to see and ears to hear your Bible. For anybody here that's not sure about their salvation, I pray today that you'd make it clear to them that they need Jesus Christ. They need him. And I thank you, God, for those of us that are already saved. We need him still. We need to live holy. We need to live in obedience. Remind us of that. We ask these things of you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go back into verse 14. Bible says, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. So go back to verses 1 through 13 when you have time. Don't have time to rehearse it today, but when he's going back on these statements he's made, we've already discussed this last Sunday, so online go back and view our teaching and how he deals with Jacob and Esau as the context gives us display. But in a general sense, is there unrighteousness with God? Is God unfair? In other words, in how he deals with his creation, absolutely not. He is completely fair. He is completely holy. Verse 15, for he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that sheweth mercy. There is no unrighteousness with God after properly understanding how the Bible defines clearly these characteristic traits of God. You see, God is all-powerful. He does possess power over all things. But we must remember that God is also holy. His holiness is what limits that power. And it's also this third characteristic trait, wisdom, which establishes how power and holiness operates. And that's what's going to help us understand these types of passages from the Bible. I'm going to give you a quote from Brother James's book titled A Sure Foundation, page 29. God's perfect power works hand in hand with God's perfect wisdom, goodness, and holiness. God's power dictates that he can do all things, and only his holiness, not man, not angels, evil or good, only his holiness places limits upon the exercise of that power. You say, what do you mean, brother? I'll give you one example. God is holy. In Hebrews 6, verses 17 through 18, it says that God cannot lie. Thence, God cannot do all things as his holiness limits his ability. So while God is an all-powerful being, he created the heaven and the earth by the power of his word. His holiness, that attribute of his character, limits his power. He can't lie. He can't sin. He can't exercise evil on anything. He can't even think it. It is impossible for him to do those things. You understand? So only God can limit his available, limitless power to maintain his holiness and his wisdom. And when we consider those truths, it's going to help us understand the following passages. So, if we go down here to verse number 16, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. The deciding factor of God's dealings with his creation is not dependent upon the will of his creation, but of God, as it pertains to judgment or special plans and purposes like Jacob and Esau that he has with it. And now we're going to talk about Pharaoh as that example. Let's go back to Exodus chapter number 8. If you have a Bible, please turn there with me. Exodus chapter 8. It's the second book in the Bible, Genesis, Exodus. And by this time, again, you guys know the story. I don't mean to rehearse God's dealings with Moses and how he used him to free the people out of the slavery there in Egypt by the hard hand of Pharaoh and the taskmasters. Over 400 years have passed since Joseph went down there and God used him mightily as a type of a redeemer, savior for Israel during the famine. And the Lord already told them that they were going to endure there for 400 plus years. But after that, God would remember that promise. And so God called out Moses, used him mightily for this time. And we know the dealings with Pharaoh. Pharaoh wasn't very nice. Pharaoh was a very hard-headed man. But we're going to see here from the scriptures, although that there are systems of thought that want to interpret and read into the text like we don't see, we're talking about Calvinism in this context, that God has pre-planned people to be evil, pre-planned people to be good. That's not Bible. I'm going to show you that in a few minutes. So in Exodus 8, the Lord's talking to Moses to go unto Pharaoh. You see there in verse 1, say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs. Very simple. God says, do this, I'm going to. You understand? So now let's go down with me to verse number 15. Bible says here, but when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. So by this time, there were some judgments. Remember the frogs, etc., etc. There were certain signs that God was demonstrating in the presence of Pharaoh, just like Romans 9 said, to demonstrate his power. But you're going to see from the Bible text, when Pharaoh was visibly seeing God's power being displayed before him, he hardened his own heart. So now, in that light, consider when the scripture says, God is going to have mercy on whom he will, but on whom he will, he hardeneth. He's only going to harden your heart if you first already harden your heart against him. He's only going to respond according to what your heart's position is. He's not going to unrighteously, like the text said, is God unrighteous? No, he's not going to do that against your own free will. He's not going to make you with a hardened heart. Go down with me to verse number 32. By this time, you know the various types of signs, the lice, the Pharaoh's magicians are counterattacking by the power of Satan. We'll talk about that later. The flies and all these things going on. In verse number, let's go down to verse number 32 here. The Bible says here in verse number 32, Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also, neither would he let the people go. So by this verse alone, right here in our King James Bible, it says here, at this time also, that denotes to us the idea that he has hardened his heart at other times. It's real simple, guys. Don't overthink it. Pharaoh didn't just happen to harden his heart because God did this verse. No, he already had a hardened heart. I mean, this guy, Pharaoh, he was in charge. He was the power of the land. You know, Pharaoh, imagine, if you will, like a king or a president over Egypt, and he had the rule over the local, you know, nations, etc. He was just a bad guy. I mean, this guy wasn't a cool Pharaoh. He didn't really judge fair. So that's the man that God is having to deal with. So now, because he already had a hardened heart, God is going to deal with him accordingly. You understand? Let's go to chapter 9. Exodus chapter 9. Let's go down all the way here. But before we do, just because we're here, just read verse 1 with me if you would. Bible says, then the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh and tell him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For if thou refuse to let them go and will hold them still, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle. So again, if you're not going to listen to me, Pharaoh, I'm going to judge you. I'm against you. I need you to do your best to concentrate on this principle, because before we end today's study, we're going to see that's the overarching principle of how God deals with mankind. Go down with me to verse number 34. Exodus 9, verse 34. When Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart, he and his servants. Verse 35, and the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken. God already told Moses, Moses, I'm going to harden his heart. But as time progressed, we now know the scriptures give us foresight of details that weren't known to Moses. Probably Moses obviously knew, but I'm just, for our sake of conversation, he was already a hardened-hearted man, you understand? But now, look at verse 34, he sinned yet more. What was his sin? His hardened heart against God. His hardened heart against God. So now keep that in mind. The Lord's dealing with him because he's a hardened man. The Lord's going to harden him even more. And that's the principle that we're going to talk about with in our continuing in our studies. Now, when we go back to Romans, the word scriptures is used seven times in seven places in the book of Romans. The Bible tells us as Christians in 2 Timothy 2:15, we have to study to show ourselves approved. So when we study these types of things, this is the reason why. Now let's go to back to Romans chapter number 9. Romans 9, pretty much I think you guys know, if you need to keep a bookmarker there, that's going to be our base text. But when you come to our church, we study a lot of Bibles, so we just got on that Bible train. In verse number 18, the Bible says, therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and on whom he will, he hardeneth. The word of just simply means from or out of, proceeding from as the cause, that is the source or the means. When that Bible says, on whom he will have mercy and on whom he will, he hardeneth, we're going to see the origin of that. If we go back to verse 16, the Bible says, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. So notice that the mercy that's going to be displayed is not of man. In other words, man is not going to motivate God's will or command God's will to do it. It's going to be off his own prerogative. But he's going to give man an opportunity of the two. Verse number 17, for the scriptures say unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. So notice, here in this text, the purpose God defines here in the dealings with Pharaoh, and Pharaoh alone. Point A, he says that for this reason, I'm going to show my power. Do you see that? He says, I'm going to show my power in thee. That's the reason he raised them up. The second thing we observe in the text, it says that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. So notice here, there is no predestination before the creation of the world unto salvation for his soul. Rather, that in the real time dealing with him in history, these are the two reasons that God is going to use this man for those things, his power, and that his name might be known throughout all the earth. So now, taking that in consideration, verse 18, therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and on whom he will, he hardeneth. Notice, not all men. Not all men on the earth. The Bible says, on whom, that is individually. God dealt with this man, Pharaoh, for a specific purpose, for specific reasons. And obviously, due to the fact that he was the earthly governing authority over the people of Israel, by default, he had to deal with him. And verse 19, thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? It's a fair question. If God knows all things, if all these things are true from our presuppositions that we've been taught outside of Bible-based teaching, well, obviously God knows that, so why is he going to act like that the way he does? But let's keep reading. Verse 20, nay, but O man, who art thou that replies against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Doesn't God have power over his creation to deal with it as he sees fit? But remember, God is good, but he also is holy and just. If he has made mankind and he given mankind a free will to choose to either obey him in faith or rebel, God is going to respond according to his holiness. So if God judges sinners for their sin, or God forgives sinners of their sin, he can do that as the creator. We have no right within ourselves as humans, although our culture says we can protest change in government. We have no right to protest against God. He's the creator. If he sees fit to operate in this creation a certain means or a certain way, we have no right to say, God, who are you to do it like this? I don't think that's fair. You're right. In your own eyes, consider God and his eyes. Let's keep reading. Verse 22. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? Notice that. He has wrath, verse 22. He has power that is available to be made known. But what does he do? He endures with long suffering. That's patience. He is patient with people. But because that wrath is against that person, could be you, could be me. Thank God I'm saved, but you know, you understand for sake of conversation, he already has planned outcome for my life if I live in this state unto death or the time of my departing. God, okay, you're gonna act like that. You're gonna deal with that. I already have this ready for you, but I'm patient with you. He gives people space to repent, and I'll show you that later. For the vessels of wrath. Now, verse 23, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. So remember, while we are studying the Bible, we are not considering our feelings. We're considering Scripture. We're not considering denominational statements or religious organization. The Catholic Church taught me, or this church, no, we're going to study the Bible. So let's get our ideas from it. God, as creator, he created man with an eternal soul, but has established limits of his power and knowledge over that man as dictated by his holiness. You see, because God created man in his image and his likeness, he created man with an eternal soul. You know that God cannot completely annihilate and destroy humans because they have an eternal soul. The Jehovah's Witnesses believe and teach that when you die, that's it. Seventh-day Adventists, when you die, that's it. You just sleep forever into an abyss. Sorry, fools, they're wrong. That's not Bible. When you die, your soul is going to continue to live because you were created with an eternal soul, an eternal life. So notice that. Again, he can't go against those laws that have dictated his creation. He can't destroy man's existence spiritually. He is going to judge them. However, after man sinned against God, we know the story, Adam and Eve, God responded by dispensing within that man a conscience. You can read that in Romans chapter 2. We know right from wrong. All of us have an understanding. And then that conscience, it was to help man, to teach man his error and guilt of evil. But as time progressed, God dispensed further laws to rule and govern over their acts. You can read that in Genesis 9. Eventually, God will reveal his laws to Israel in Exodus 20. Romans 9, we know this, the Ten Commandments, many of us are familiar. Of what God expected of man in regards to how to live on this earth as as personal representatives to the world. But when man chooses to rebel against their God given understanding, their intelligence, he has the power and the authority to execute judgment for an example in order to persuade others not to sin against him like those he's judged. Two places I'll show you for an example. Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 And the next place we'll go to is 2 Peter chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and then 2 Peter chapter 2. Praise God. Thanks for coming to church today. The Bible's good. Amen. We got a lot of Bible to go, so let's keep on reading more of the truth. How about that? 1 Corinthians 10, this is being written to Christians, and again, giving us an example for us to learn and to understand. Verse 1 says this, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant." It's a good thing. Don't be dumb. Don't be silly. Don't be not mature and understanding what the Bible teaches. I like that. Paul, I like how he doesn't want Christians to be ignorant. That's my heart. All right, let's keep reading. "How that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all did eat the same spiritual meat, and they did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." So now Paul is using an example of the Hebrews after they left Egypt, going through the wilderness. He's giving us some doctrine from their example. So let's keep reading. Verse 5. "But with many of them, God was not well pleased." Oh, there you go. Why, God? Why were you not happy? Let's keep reading. "For they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted." So get ready, church. You don't want to be ignorant. You don't want to act like, "I don't know any better, Brother Carlos. I'm not a pastor teacher." No, you got a Bible. You can read it, okay? You can know how God is happy or God is angry about your life based off some things we do. Watch this. Here are the examples. Are you ready, church? Verse 7. "Neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play." Remember the story, church? Moses went up to the mount on Sinai. He's talking with God. He's getting the laws from God, the Ten Commandments. You remember watching movies growing up, maybe the Ten Commandments. That was a pretty good movie. While he's up there, Aaron is down there. All the Hebrews are down there wondering what happened to Moses, you know, that man of God. "You know what, Aaron? Why don't you fashion us a god? You know, make us a god. Forget that guy. He's up there. He ain't coming down. He's going to die. Let's do our own thing." You remember the story? The Israelites, they made a golden calf, right? And then some Hebrew rebellious guys were like, "This is your god, everybody." What did they do? They started to drink, you know, get a little buzz, you know, party. And they started to fornicate with each other. They started to have some sexual relations down there at the bottom of the hill. God is up there talking with Moses, and the people are down here. Church, what's the example? Don't fool with God, even though he's not physically here with you. He's watching. He's watching. So keep that in mind, how he's dealing with people over time. Verse number 8, "Neither let us commit fornication." Fornication is the act of having sexual relations with somebody out of matrimony, or it's committing adultery with another person that's married. Fornication. "As some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Whoa, that really made God mad. You know what God did to them Jews that fornicated? He killed 23,000 in one day. That's how holy God is. "But Brother Carlos, I thought God is love and he accepts everybody." That's the PBS God. This is the God of the Bible we're talking about. That's not the God of yoga and all this silliness of the God of America, you know, the accepting God of everybody how they are. No. This is the God of the Bible. He tells you point blank, this is right, this is wrong. I've given you free will. I'm being patient with you for repent. If you're not, I'm going to take you out one day because of that sin. That's the example that is being written to Christians. Now, thank God that he does not deal with us like he did with them Jews. Many of us have been fornicators in our past. Many of us were drinking alcohol in our past. Many of us were doing all these things that them Jews did. And notice, you're still alive, friend. God didn't physically just rain down fire and brimstone or lightning to strike you. Now consider the Bible. He's long-suffering. He's patient. He's given you a chance to repent. Don't take his grace for granted, church. Verse 9. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Remember that? The serpents, the scorpions, they bit them Jews because they were complaining against God. What is the relevant application here, Christians? Don't be tempting God. Don't get to that limit or that little balance in your walk by trying to tempt God with the way you're living. Verse 10, now this is all of us here. I think we're all guilty. Verse number 10, that Bible says, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. You don't got to raise your hand, but we complain against God all the time. I complain because the weather's not great. I complain because my governing president or authorities aren't doing something right. We're all murmurers. We complain. But in context here, they were murmuring against God. They were murmuring against Moses because God was telling them how to live, and they didn't want to live like that. Christians, don't be getting mad at the preacher because he's telling you how to live. Christians, don't be getting mad at your brothers and sisters in Christ when they're telling you how to dress, when they're telling you how to live and how to walk and talk. Don't murmur. God takes that serious. Now, verse 11, all these things happen unto them for our examples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. So what is my point in using that as an example? Romans 9, what if God, willing to show his wrath, endured with much long suffering the vessels fitted unto destruction? What if God's patient? What if God was patient with Pharaoh time after time again? We're trying to get some application, church, on how he's going to deal with folks. Second place, 2 Peter 2. Hope you're already there. 2 Peter chapter number 2. Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles there. These are examples, church. Pretty good, amen. Hopefully you're following along here. 2 Peter 2, verse 1. Bible says here, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. So what is Peter the apostle warning the Christians? That just like there were false prophets in Israel's camp, you know, God said this, even though really God did not say that, because God gave the law. He already gave the word to Moses. He already gave it to the men he purposely put in that place. If God didn't speak through them, some fool out there saying, God spoke to me in a dream, everybody. It's okay to go fornicate. Let's all do it. No, dude, that's false. Okay, don't listen to those guys. Okay, I don't mean to beat a dead horse here, but when you watch these guys online or these people online, men or women, I don't care who they are, and they're going to tell you, God spoke to me, God gave me a dream, you better get your Bible, get ready to Bible thump them on that head and tell them, sorry, fool, the Bible is God's word. He did not talk to you in a dream. He did not tell you something that he didn't tell John the Apostle, you know, somebody that actually walked with Jesus. If it's not in this word of God here, friends, do not pay attention to them. It's silly, it's false, just like he's warning us. So notice we're just going off the Bible here, okay? All right, so who are these guys? What are they going to do? The Bible says they're going to privately bring in damnable heresies, that's really bad teachings, even denying the Lord that bought them. They're going to deny that Jesus is the Savior and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Notice that. Who's going to bring it? They're going to bring it upon themselves. God has wrath. But his wrath is going to be given to them because they are bringing it upon themselves. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Keep going. Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Don't be one of those. Through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. You know, sow a seed into this ministry. If you give your finances, God is going to bless you, but you got to give to me because I'm the man of God. You better watch out for those guys. You know who they are online. Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. So the judgment is there. It's ready. He has it. God does not want to pour it out, but it's ready for those that are going to walk in this manner of life. Keep going. For if God spare not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. So again, God is going to judge when his creation goes against his will, the angels did. Spare not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood upon the world of the ungodly. You guys heard the story about the flood of Noah. God literally destroyed every human on this planet because they were so wicked. Only eight people were found walking by faith and obedience to him. Come on, you guys got to listen up now to what God's saying here. What about Sodom and Gomorrah, verse 6? Turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow. Are you ready now, church? Look at this here. Making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. You say, Brother Carlos, what's the point? It's not necessarily the alcohol that's going to take you to hell. It's not necessarily the drugs, the weed, the relationships with man or woman outside of God's matrimony, you know, living in fornication. It's not necessarily all that that's going to take you to hell. Those are the acts that is building up wrath, but it's not necessarily that. You know what that Bible says? It's living ungodly. When you are living a life that is anti-God, anti-Jesus, you want to live ungodly, that is completely rebellion to everything that is godly, you know what that Bible says? All these are an example for you to wake up. You want to live like that? You want to keep living in a homosexual relationship? You want to keep being a drunkard? You want to be an extortioner, robbing people's money, lying to them? Lord said, don't be surprised. He's going to do the same thing. He's going to judge you, just like he did those people. So that's the example that we're trying to get from these scriptures. God could demonstrate honor or judgment as he sees fit in accord with his wisdom for an example to those thereafter to consider. That is, their heart's belief, their condition, their actions. If I believe in this faith and live out my physical life with these actions, we already know what God has prepared. If I do the opposite, hence the vice versa, if I put my faith and trust in God and live in accord with what he commands me to do, then I know the other action. That's he's going to show me grace. So when we go back to Romans 9, again, that's our base text. Hopefully you have your flyer there. Romans chapter 9, go down here to verse 22. Bible's good, amen? Anybody? Got a little quiet out there. I know that, I mean, it's a double-edged sword, everybody. It's a double-edged sword. What if God, verse 22, willing to show his wrath to make his power known, endure with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory. Notice the comparing and contrast there. The riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had prepared for unto glory. Willing to show his wrath because it abides on all of us because of our sin. To make his power known. Remember the example with Pharaoh? He endured patiently. We, as humans, are likened to vessels. A vessel, for some of us, could be a container. You know, you put your food in or whatever. It's a vessel that holds stuff. You guys get that idea. But vessels are compared to us, our human bodies. Two places I'll show you. 2 Corinthians 4. You don't have to go there. You can follow along here on the projector. 2 Corinthians 4. Look what Paul says about the when we possess now Jesus, we have this truth. Where do we have it? Verse 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So we are still alive in our flesh. We're saved, but we still live in this flesh. We have it in this vessel. You understand? So that's all he's saying there. The other place is in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verses 20 through 21. Look at what that Bible says. This is really good. This is really good. All the Bible's good, but this is really good. Okay, very good. Verse 20. In a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth. Some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a what church? Vessel unto honor, sanctified, that is set apart, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. You say, Brother Carlos, how can I be a vessel unto honor? How can my body be something used for good by God? Go up one verse, 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Are you ready now? You say, I'm a believer. I love Jesus. I believe God. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You want to be a vessel of wrath? Live in your iniquity. Live in your sin. Live ungodly. You're going to be a vessel of dishonor. Nothing good. You're just going to be used for the junk. You want to be a vessel of honor? Purge yourself from these things. You got sin in your life, friend? You don't have to tell me. I'm not a Catholic priest. Thank God we're Christians. You can go straight to God. You don't got to talk to nobody about that. You need to repent. Get on them knees and say, Lord, I know I've been a hypocrite, Lord. I know I say I believe in God, but I don't do nothing for you, Lord. I am tired of living a life contrary to you, Lord. Lord, I want to be a vessel of honor. I know I'm going to die one day, Lord. I'm sorry for all these years I haven't really been serving you, Lord. Would you forgive me? You know what God is willing to do, friend? He is willing to forgive you. He is gracious, but he's given you the choice. It's up to you. Notice the vessel. We're likened to vessels. So notice the difference between the two vessels. Before we close, let's talk about this. The first vessel, he can make his power known. The vessel of wrath. People say, oh, I want the power of God right now. Yeah, I don't want the judgment of God. No way, I'm good. He doesn't have to demonstrate that against me. Amen. I got the Bible. I'll just walk by faith in this. God does not have to bring fire and brimstone on me. He does not have to bring flies and lice and, you know, frogs at my house. We're good, God. You don't need to do that with me. I'm going to walk by faith. Number two, you can be the vessel of mercy. You know what he says there in Romans 9? The riches of his glory. You can be that vessel, you know, that body. You can be that person that's willing to believe him by faith, willing to obey his word. He has mercy available for you. These two types of individuals, God right now already prepared a response. I have a lot more scripture to go. I'd like to give you one Old Testament verse before we move for our last New Testament verse to give you the kind of direction of where I want to end today. Let's go to Exodus 34, and then our last verse will be John chapter 3 before we take the Lord's Supper. Exodus chapter 34. Exodus 34. This right here, friend, is very important when you consider how God deals with people. Here in Exodus 34, Moses asked God, God, I want to see you. I know many of us ask God to let us see him at times. He just said, Lord, show me your glory. I want to see you for who you really are. The Lord said, Moses, you can't see me and live. I mean, God is powerful. His glory will burn a man up, you see. But the Lord said, you know what, Moses, here's what I'll do for you. I'm going to let you see my back parts. I'm going to let you see me from behind. I can't show you my fullness because, man, you will obliterate, literally. But I'm going to do something for you. So as the Lord is going to do this for him in verse number 5, the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Praise God. We believe the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Lord descended in the cloud. So here's the Lord coming down, and here we have him proclaiming the name of the Lord. He's talking about the Father, Jehovah. Verse 6. The Lord passed before him, talking about Moses, and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. And the modern church today, the modern Christians say, yeah, he's a good God. Just come as you are. He's going to accept you. No. Let's continue to read more about the God of the Bible. Let's finish what he's saying. And that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. You know what the Lord said? This is who I am. You want to know my heart? I am good. I have truth. I have mercy. I have grace, and I'm ready to forgive. But if you don't want this, if you want to live in a life of sin and rebellion against me, I am not going to forgive you. I'm not going to forget what you're doing. As a matter of fact, one day I'm going to raise you from the dead and I'm going to judge every single work you did against me. That's what he promised. Last New Testament verse, and let's see how these two sync together to get this understanding. John chapter 3, we'll end here before we partake of the Lord's Supper. John chapter 3. Hope that Bible's still good, church. Hope you like it. John chapter 3. So what do I want you to consider today? I want you to consider what type of vessel you are. God already told you how he has something available for you to reveal himself to you. He's either going to show himself upright to you or he's going to show himself froward. He's either going to have wrath for you or he's going to have mercy and grace. The wrath is available just being yourself. I don't care what skin shade your color is. I don't care if you're who you are, male or female. Man, you sin against God, he has wrath. But he offers grace. He offers forgiveness through Jesus Christ. And if you believe in him, this is what Jesus said. John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world. Do you see that grace and love precede judgment? Remember that. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I believe that. I believe that if I ask Jesus to save me and I believe that he is God's Son who did that on the cross for me, he says, I won't perish. He says, I'll have everlasting life. I hope you've made that decision. Jesus says, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. Praise God, Brother Carlos, not condemned. I believed in Jesus. Many of you, praise God, you're not condemned. But, finish reading the verse, pay attention now. He that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You know what Jesus said already a long time ago? If you don't truly believe in me, you already have the wrath of God. This is the condemnation. This is Jesus talking. That light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. The problem, friend, is not your government. The problem is not your family. The problem is not your finances. The problem is your heart. You want to do what you want more than what God wants, and that's what's going to send you to hell. Fornication is the byproduct. Drinking is the byproduct, but it's your heart. John the Baptist, this is what he said. Keep going down in this chapter, all the way down here to verse number 35. John the Baptist is giving us a statement here. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. If I were you, I would listen to the Son. Son, I know you're the Son of God, Jesus. What do you have? The Father gave you everything. I want to be on equal good terms with your Father. If I need to go through you, hey, Lord, would you save me? Verse 36, and we'll end. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. I believe. I hope you believe. Again, there's so much good assurance that if you trust Jesus, you're saved. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Two types of vessels. Two of us types of vessels here at church and watching online. You're either going to be a vessel of wrath because you live in rebellion against Jesus, the Son of God. You want to live out the lust of your heart? God has wrath for you. It's already ready, and it's going to come. but you one day hear the Bible being taught to you from a preacher like me or a Christian friend or family member that says, hey, I want to let you know Jesus loves you. He changed my life. I know I used to do the same things with you, and I know you know me. I know you know my mistakes, but God, you know, we've offended God. I know I offended you. I'm asking your forgiveness, but man, consider your soul. You're going to die one day. You're going to wake up in eternity. God says heaven or hell. But the only way you're going to get to heaven is if you come through Jesus, because he's the only one that can help you on your behalf before God. That wrath of God was placed on Jesus on the cross. All your sins can be forgiven. All your bad can be forgiven if you trust him. But if you reject him, he already has that wrath. So the choice is yours, friend. We're going to end there today before we do communion. Thank you for tuning in online. Hope and pray that you'll come to church one day. Hope you consider Jesus Christ. The Lord bless you.